Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, if you missed our earlier program, you've got to get it. Congressman Michelle Bachmann is just laying it down. She just laid it down, and she was being interviewed by Glenn Beck on The Blaze. You've got to see it. As a matter of fact, you can see it on the VFN Torch. Just go to VFNTV.com and just watch it. All of our programs are available for you. Or you can watch it on our app. You know, all of our television programs also are available, not just on CTN, but also available on the app. You can carry us with you everywhere you go. But one thing she said in there was very, very important. She said that several things. One, she reminded us of the last words of the leader of ISIS, when he left Abu Ghraib prison when our president you know said release them, and he said I'll see you in New York. Which it truly kind of made me want to think about, you know, do I want to stay, since they're not stopping this man, do I want to stay in New York? It's almost like an assured you know, concern, especially with some of the prophetic words that we've given you that you can find out at vfntv.com. Go to the drop-down menu and look at prophecies and begin to read. God actually lets us know what's going to happen before it's happening. But another thing she says is she says that that she has her staff putting together legislation, which is what you do to be able to present a bill before Congress so they can pass it and it can be signed as a law, which I doubt very seriously for some strange reason. And I think that our president might veto it, or he might not sign it in, as a law. But says that if you join forces with a particular group or a whatever that's waged war, declared war against the United States, you lose your citizenship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, the leader of ISIS actually was in the detention center of the United States when he said that, when he was walking away.
Okay.
Well, back in 2009.
And that's when our president released him.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll see you in New York.
See you in New York. And so you're looking at, you would think, it's already written in the Constitution, it is. And it's like, we got to be that clear now. Okay, now wait. If you declare war on the United States, you can't be a citizen of the United States. And I say, you know, please pass that quickly. At least get it all the way to the president as soon as possible, so that we can find out, you know, whose side are we for the Constitution or not. And just to encourage, she is the congresswoman for Minnesota. She's a representative, really, of the Constitution. She's doing her job.
Yes, she is.
And we appreciate her. Known as the woman with a steel spine, you know, because she just stood up for what was right. Very calmly. She's just very normal. And I guess having that many kids that she's raised up, and that's probably why, because that's a tough thing.
Yeah.
We're going to have for you today, believe it or not, Phil with Duck Dynasty, the father of Duck Dynasty, explaining about what you do with ISIS. Remember, ISIS is that Islamic State in the southern part of Syria, the northern parts of Iraq, which they would tell you that is no longer Iraq. That's no longer Syria. I'm sure they probably would say this is the Islamic State.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the word ISIL, that's a very interesting thing, because words are very important. Is one thing that politicians understand, but there's one thing also that people that move in like Rules for Radicals is the narrative. You know, as Marshall Gantz said, you got to constantly change the narrative. But was to call it, you know, first radical Islam. No, we're not going to call it radical anything. Then we'll call it, you know, Hamas and Fatah and Hezbollah. And all of a sudden this deeper faction, you know, Al-Qaeda is dead and defeated. So we can't call this Al-Qaeda anymore. So let's call this, you know, ISIS. And so then it's ISIS. And it was so bad, they said, that the people that were in the former club called Al-Qaeda, they were looking and go, this is not us. It's so bad. You know, it's so bad. Reports are by Glenn Beck on The Blaze. He says even Iran is scared of them.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Even Iran is scared
of them. Himself.
Yeah, they're going like, you know, stop them. And you're looking at, this is Alinsky. This is Saul Alinsky's methodology. You got to get all these people who never got along to get them to unify over an issue. Doesn't matter what it is. And as you get them to unify, then you push your agenda. The thing about it is, you can't organize Israel. You cannot turn the world against Israel and think it's going to turn out well for you. Mm-hmm. You cannot watch her assaulted like this and think that's okay. And but it looks, it's like Alinsky 101, rules for radicals 101, because you look right now, you're looking, Iran is talking, is there a concern they're willing to get on the page to weaponize the defense against ISIS? That's huge. But that's how it works. You have this radical group, 12,000, mind you, like the strongest military in the world couldn't deal with 12,000, you know, right, folks in the context of that. But then they changed the name to ISIL with an L at the end of it. When you look at ISIS, if you look up the name of it, which is pretty interesting, because you heard some of the prophetic words that came out of VFN TV when the Lord was showing me how things were being set up, that Egypt was a very important part of that, because we talked about God's set man, that in the talk that I had about Josiah. And Josiah's son got put in power by Egypt. Well, ISIS, the very name ISIS, is a name for a false god who actually gives the throne to the leader of Egypt. Mm. It gives the throne to the leader of Egypt. You think about that. So the first thing that it was called is this thing that I'm working on a plan to do something. I don't know. We're the strongest power in the world, and we could probably just, you know, whack. Or we're talking about bombing Damascus not too long ago. And now we can't even kill 12,000 folks or stop these 12,000 folks that are beheading Arabs and Christians and Muslims. And so now you're looking at, they went from ISIS. So ISIS, that's a name of a false god that they believe, not they, but the whoever conjured this god up, mm-hmm, would give the throne, and that's who Pharaoh would sit on that throne. ISIS. Because a lot of times, that's what you'll notice, mankind, they prophesy, they don't know they're prophesying. When you look like, we will rebuild with stronger stones, from honed stones, you know, in the, yeah, the mayor of New York has no idea. He's quoting scripture that says New York's going to fall. I mean, he has no idea. Potentially, that's what's going to happen. And the sycamore is the only thing standing up. You can find out more about that in the VFN Torch. But and so they're saying, when they're declaring ISIS, 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 you know, people say, well, that kind of logically means, well, wouldn't you think it would line up with the very same thing, the ones sitting on the throne? Who's going to sit on the throne of Egypt? Who's going to sit? And somebody says, well, that's a different country. Well, it is presently because of British occupation and the dividing lines and all that. Right. But the current leadership does not approve of those colonization of the Middle East. I think that according to the president, former president of King's College, who had a movie called Obama 2016, he talked about that that you have to understand what this is how our leader's thinking. This is the reason why he sent the bust of Winston Churchill back, because they colonized, they cut all those boundaries up and put leaders over it. What we call today countries, that was one thing called Palestine, you know, the Ottoman Empire. And so when you study history, and if you're over there in that region, you're studying history, you say, you know, we were all together before we were all divided up by Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And you think the next particular person they have lined up to be able to potentially suffer the same fate as James Foley is British. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing is, the very one who did it is British.
Yeah.
It's all tied together. You have to understand. When somebody's saying, I'm against how they colonized us and we want to become one again, the thing about it is you got to back it further than that. Like, okay, so why did this ever happen? It's because you were making war against, your forefathers were making war against the world. And they had to come in and say, you can't do this. And we've taken this all over, but we're going to give it back. But this is how we're going to give it back. Mm-hmm. We're going to divide it up like this and, you know, be separate, you know, and that type of thing. And so there's a reason why. It doesn't just happen. You can't just back up the history to a certain point and just go from this point on, we'll forget about all that, that I tried to kill you, behead you.
Whole story here.
And, we'll forget about all those different things. And so, but there's a reason, there's logic to what they're doing in their own minds, the ones that are pushing for this caliphate, which is, the Quran is the constitution for a governmental move, basically. But so when they move from ISIS to ISIL, that's what even nails it even further, because ISIL, L, represents Levant, I believe it's called, but it's the Mediterranean, it's the whole caliphate. It's all the countries. So when our president goes along with the narrative and he goes, ISIS, 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 okay, ISIS comes in and begins to come into Iraq. You have the president of Iraq stepped down, not through elections, but forced down through this evil force. And then all of a sudden our president says, okay, this next man's now the president. No, there wasn't democracy, didn't happen there. Democracy happened to put the president in that was there.
Maliki.
Yeah, Maliki. But the one that came into power came in because of ISIS coming down. Then all of a sudden, okay, now we'll come and help out on the mountain. We'll come and help out a little bit. And then, because the goal of ISIS, according to them, is to have the a caliphate, to have all these, the Ottoman countries, to be able to be under one rule and have an Islamic state. And so to call it ISIL is like being in agreement with the narrative.
Right.
Instead of just going, why don't we call it radical Islam like we did prior to 2008? Mm. Why don't we just call it radical Islam? Why don't we put that back into our libraries again, into CIA, into the FBI libraries, into Homeland Security again, to begin to see those that hate our country, that hate our Constitution, that hate what we stand for as enemies of the state. And it's like it's all tied together, and it's like that just, it just blew me away. When ISIL, the L stands for, I believe it's Levant, but we'll have it on the torch for you, Levant, which represents all those, you're in the Navy and you do a Mediterranean cruise, you're covering through all those nations that kind of come right up, countries that come up right against the Mediterranean. That's what the L represents. In other words, I want the Islamic State to be bigger. I'm in agreement with the Levant. I'm in agreement with this thing coming down. And I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying, but when you say that, they were going to take it on. It's like, hey, he's in agreement with us. He's for us. And I know that one of the CBN reporters were being interviewed, and they were over there in northern Iraq, and they're, you know, in the early days of this, you know, radical Islam situation called ISIS, that they asked the question, you know, what is your motivation? What is driving you? What is the thing that's causing, well, you know, what is this thing to get you up in the morning and want you to go behead someone? What is right. it? You know, what's empowering them, emboldening them? And this is what the reporter said. The CBN reporter said they feel that the president of America supports what they're doing. And they even had things, it doesn't mean that that's true or not, but that's what the reporter said, that they said that they are saying that the reports that they feel like that he was for them. And now we just thank God for him standing up and saying, this is wrong, this is evil, and it needs to be eradicated. And we just pray God give him a plan, you know, to do something about it. But know that when you're the enemy of Christians and Jews and America and Israel feels like America is with them, the leader's with them, that's what they were saying. That's what the reporter said. That's what they feel emboldens them to be able to do what they're doing. I mean, you think about that. That's not a good scenario.
No. Wikipedia defines the Levant you were talking about as beginning with Iraq, Syria, and other territories in the Levant region, which includes Jordan, Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, Cyprus, and, of course, part of southern Turkey.
So when you say ISIL, you say push Israel into the sea.
Mm.
When you say ISIL, Levant, right? Mm-hmm. When you say that, you're saying Israel needs to be done away with. More we get back from the break. Don't forget, by the way, we're going to have Phil with Duck Dynasty talking about what to do with ISIS. It's very profound.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
It's natural to fight back. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. You know, conflict in a marriage is a given, but the next time you have a fight with your spouse, just pause and reflect on the source of that disagreement.
We need to learn to stop reacting. If we're going to learn how to act right when our spouse acts wrong, we need to learn to stop reacting and to start responding. And one of the ways that we need to learn to do that is to understand that our spouse is not our enemy. Our real enemy is Satan. And he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy your spouse. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. And if you can keep that in mind and you understand the battle that you're going to face now, because you might have to fight in your marriage, but you're fighting for a much bigger cause than just getting your own way. You have a different enemy. You're not fighting your spouse. You might be fighting for your spouse or for your marriage. But if you understand your enemy is out to get you, then you have a different response to that.
More trusted advice today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So you think about it. So if the narrative was radical Islam, and then it was no longer radical Islam, it was Al-Qaeda, it's no longer Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda's dead. But then all of a sudden it's ISIS. No, at first it was Syria, remember? We were going to bomb Damascus, bomb Damascus, bomb Damascus. Don't forget, we had the Russian fleet out in the Mediterranean city and outside. We had the Russian fleet behind our Democratic National Convention folks that were there. You know, there was a Russian Navy that was there. And so it's ISIS, and then Iraq, Al-Qaeda's dead, and then ISIS, you know, arises in Syria, and then ISIS becomes ISIL. But the interesting thing is that why do our leaders agree with their narrative?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying they do agree. I'm not reporting them. I'm just saying, but based on what the CBN reporter was saying, he's interviewing these radical Islamists. They said they're emboldened because they feel like that our president is for them, and hopefully they don't anymore, because he's openly saying he's not. But when you hear the president go from ISIS to ISIL, instead of saying, let's just stick with ISIS. And we don't even think, you know, what kind of message does that send? Mm-hmm. It sends that it sends a message that we're in agreement with them. When ISIL, the L stands for Levant, which means that these are the surrounding Mediterranean countries. In other words, they're only presently in Syria and presently in northern Iraq. They're coming down, they say, into Lebanon. But if you go for this whole region, I mean, you're talking about Cyprus, Israel, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, Egypt, and others, and we're going to make this available to you. So when you hear that word, when you say you call them, it's sort of like saying we're going to call Israel Israel. When you do that, you're saying that all that territory is theirs. You're just saying that's theirs. But if you call them ISIL,
Legitimizing it.
What's that? So legitimizing this whole thing in regards to saying that, wait a minute, they're not even there yet. You know, and why would you go ahead and say, in other words, I'm going to speak a vision over you.
Right.
And this is the word I speak over you. You're going to be much bigger than you are, and you're going to spread all the way down, and you're going to push Israel into the sea. Well, nobody's saying that. But are you, think about it. But if you're saying, if you're agreeing with the Levant, if you're calling that, if you're calling
Isol. They're calling themselves world domination, and you're saying, yeah, world domination right. organization. They're, yeah. They're in a little area here.
Hegemony crickets. Hegemony means one to rule the world, and that's the goal of the Muslim Brotherhood, is hegemony. When you hear about caliphate, that means hegemony, which is, I don't know, we need simple words. Men want to rule the world. So when you hear the word hegemony, there's talking about world rule. What you heard on an earlier program when you heard Congressman Michelle Bachmann talk about, that's what they want to do. That's what a caliphate is. It's hegemony. It's world rule, you know, with a Quran being over it. And so that's that narrative. And so it's like, it's just emboldening them to be able to think more. And it's like 12,000. Can't we take down 12,000 folks?
Come on.
Can't we stop 12,000 people on pickup trucks? Yeah, right. I mean, even if they took the weapons, you know, from what happened in Iraq, it makes you wonder, why do we even pull out? Mm-hmm. Why do we even pull out? Were we just stockpiling weapons so we could pull out because we couldn't get them from Benghazi to Turkey?
Hello.
I mean, what's going on? And isn't it interesting that Turkey is our issue, but the leader of Turkey, the president-elect, you know, he got in office based on his hatred towards Israel. But if you put the L in ISIS and call it SL, that means that he's going to be a part of this whole hegemony, this whole caliphate in that area. And Israel will be pushed in the sea. They will not, by the way, be pushed in the sea. You don't have to worry about Israel. God's going to defend Israel. What you got to worry about is, will you publicly stand up for Israel, or will you be ashamed of Israel?
Right.
Will you stand up and say, listen, I will not be silent. This is the test is not really Israel's test. The test is our test. God will defend Israel. And you're looking at, you know, Psalms 83. You know, Pastor John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, he has a message talking about Psalms 83 is coming into focus. And he's talking about, this is not Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Russia comes down, Gog and Magog, against Israel. But this is when all the Islamic nations come against Israel. So we're right in this Psalms 83, where God's going to just show himself so mighty. Who's he going to show his mighty to? He's going to do it to the Levant. All the ones that are saying they're going to push Israel into the sea, the ones that think they can come in and take over. When Turkey's leader gets in office out of his hatred towards Israel, I mean, think about it. You see what happens with the spirit that's on ISIS or in this radical Islam in the area is to raise their children up to hate everybody who's not a radical Islamist, because they hate Muslims who are in their lighter version of Islam. They're killing Muslims, they're killing Christians, they're killing Jews, they're killing other sects that are out there. Mm-hmm. Unless you believe in their radical. By the way, if you want to know what a religious spirit looks like, that's what it looks like.
Right.
That's exactly what it looks like. You know, my way or the highway. And what Jesus said, he just said, follow me. That's all he said. He said, follow me. And he gave you the opportunity to follow him. He's in total control. I mean, He created everything that you see. He holds everything together. He's in complete control, total complete control. So he's not worried about something happening. God's not worried. But the thing about it, what are we going to do? Are we going to stand up? Are we going to say that he's Lord? Are we going to be terrorized because somebody spray paints with a color paint a particular verse in the Quran that we don't even read of what it actually says? I mean, the bad thing that these guys have going for them in America is, according to some statistic that was just heard on The Blaze recently, that 67%, something like that, Americans survey would rather be experience pain than learn something. They'd rather actually be electrically shocked. They chose being shocked over learning something. And the only way that you're going to be blessed, the only way that you're going to move, the only way you're going to ever get out of this bondage you're in is to learn the ways of God, is to learn. You're going to have to learn something. That is a lie that says you can't learn. You're not supposed to learn. That you can just let Google tell you everything that you need to know. And you can let media tell you everything. You know, let people, you know, wherever you get your sources of information from, you know, you got to learn. That was a lie saying that you can live without learning. Because when you don't learn, when they dumb down a population, it's just a matter of time before it goes into captivity. The biggest thing that happened about why America got here, how we got here, how we stay here, you got to go back and hear that, is that they got a hold of the word of God. Men got a hold of the word of God, and you know, Tyndale and others had done that.
Wycliffe,
and they began to transcribe it so other people could read it in the plowman's language, if you would, and they suffered, you know, great because of that. But as soon as men got a hold of the Bible, they found out that we can serve the God of the Bible. And when they began to serve him, this religious spirit came and began to persecute these people who found the God of the Bible. And so they actually came to America because they had to get away, find a land that they could worship God freely. And eventually that's where you have men realize we can actually have a nation under God. One nation under God. That's where it came from. America was the experiment, because the last nation that was one nation under God was Israel, and they chose to come out from under it when they said, we want a king like everyone else. And to give this up, think about it, to give this up, and this is a God thing. When God says, if you will acknowledge me, you can truly be a nation under me, just the way Israel was. But if we push God away, we're going to be just like every other nation. So what are we going to do? You got to go back and listen to that. You need to get educated on that. And I was getting educated out loud. I was thinking out loud. God just downloaded to me in one particular Saturday what I shared, which took a couple programs to talk about it, but it was a supernatural impartation, what God was telling me. So this is makes you want to go. We're going to go to a break, I think, and come right back, because I want you to hear Phil. You know, you look at Phil and the crew with Duck Dynasty, and you see their beards, and you don't judge a man by his cover, because this is college graduates. He was a teacher.
Master's degree.
Very intelligent. And the most intelligent people are the ones that refuse to make you think they're intelligent. They just kind of sit back, hidden behind the shrubs. You know what I'm saying?
Literally.
We're going to hear what Phil, not Dr. Phil, but he'll hear what Phil Robinson from Duck Dynasty, which you probably know him by, what he has to say about ISIS. He was speaking to one of the Fox News reporters, Hannity. And it was very powerful. You got to see this. Back when the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you're having difficulty hearing, ears to hear. It's so important. Sometimes, you know, when you're losing your hearing, you don't really realize you're losing it. It's other people around you that realize you're losing it, because you just think they're not saying nothing, or they're not being respectful and speaking up. But the truth is, you're just not hearing them well. And the best way to find out if you're having a hearing issue is, first of all, ask those around you. When you speak, do I hear you? It could be a Southern thing too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But also go to ears to hear, because they have a test for you. They can test to find out how your hearing is, right?
That's right. They have a great, great place. You love meeting Dean Easterwood. He's a professional. And their staff is, I mean, top notch. They have three locations on the Gulf Coast, and they're a perfect mixture between a retail place where you just kind of come on in and they kind of speed you along the way, maybe help you. And also they have a clinical side. So it's kind of the perfect hybrid of both, but they really care about their patients. They care about hearing. I highly recommend them. They're great people, and it's a great, great place.
Hearing aids have come a long, long way. You no longer have to use your wife and say, what did they say? The technology is so small that you can't even realize it's there. The question to you have, also may have, is like, well, I can't use my cell phone if I have, they even have that built in now. Well, it works off Bluetooth, so it goes right into your hearing
aid. Right.
Oh, wow. So make sure you go to Ears to Hear.
Ears to Hear.
Ears to Hear. Three locations. You can find out more at VFNTV.com and click on sponsors.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. he'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. But, and he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's a multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples. It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, we have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. No. And if you see us laughing and those type of things, realize that, hey, you know, God's already overcome this life. That's through his son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we're just talking about a photo shoot that Steve had recently.
Yeah, that was interesting.
It was interesting. Hopefully we'll get a chance to be able to show that soon.
Yeah. Was this glamour shot?
It was a glamour shot.
He likes taking photos.
Yeah. We've noticed. Yeah,
right. Yeah. How much did that glamour shot cost you?
Done. We're not talking about me.
That's amazing. No glamour
Steve, no glamour here.
Apparently not enough.
Yeah, for hello.
Didn't help.
My goodness gracious.
He's brutal, isn't he?
I know. But just think about Chris.
Wow.
It just encourages.
Just makes us. We should join us all in prayer for Chris. Right. I mean, just makes us think about it.
I just think, you know, duct tape, Chris, French door, tricycle. And I'm like, you know, life's just not that bad.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, Phil Robinson.
Robertson.
Yeah, Robertson.
I was going to say.
Obviously, a fan of the duck program.
Don't mess with this Phil.
Yeah, right. He messes with Phil.
I've seen it a couple times.
Right.
We have a program. It's just not. We're just going to. It's about him talking about ISIS.
Yes.
Not the duck thing.
Right. They eat dinner watching. I mean.
So anyway, he is on Sean Hannity, and he's asking a question. I mean, it's very profound what he, you know, because he gives a biblical, and this is the reason why we're going to be talking about what he's saying, and he's given a biblical view. I wish Sean would just let him talk. Sean interrupted him. He's like, I know you don't have the word probably much, but he's talking about the word here, Sean. And he's Sean's a Christian, but probably he probably doesn't have a lot of the word, you know. Anyway, so that reportedly, and so so here you have this bearded dude, no, this bearded guy talking. But listen to what he's saying, because he asked the question, "What do you do with ISIS?" And listen to everything, because it's very, very profound what he's saying and true.
Welcome back to Hannity. New video surfaced earlier today showing the brutal execution of captured American journalist Stephen Sotloff by ISIS terrorists. Now, this comes just 2 weeks after the radical Islamic group posted a similar video documenting the beheading of journalist James Foley. So how should America deal with the simultaneous rise of radical Islam around the globe and a rising tide of anti-Semitism and anti-Christian behavior, as we saw convert or die in Mosul? Joining me now, the patriarch of Duck Dynasty, the author of the brand new book, Unfiltered, The Way I See It. I got it right here. The one and only Phil Robertson. How are you, my friend?
Doing good.
Good to see you. Welcome aboard.
Good to see you, man.
You don't leave home without it. You brought your Bible with you.
I never leave home without my Bible and my woman, Hannity. That's good advice for you.
Is that good advice? I'm never allowed to go out alone?
Well,
my wife would get bored.
Safety.
Is that
woman and Bible. You got it?
Now, you dedicated this to your book to Miss Kay, which I thought was really nice. Let me ask you first. I wrote a book once, Deliver Us From Evil, about, I think good people have a hard concept understanding evil. That book talks about evil that you got there in front of you.
You betcha.
The Lord's Prayer says deliver us from evil. I think you're a preacher at heart. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But when you, if anybody could cut off somebody's head like that, and then put children's head on stakes. Isn't that evil in our time? And how should we deal with it?
Worldwide, planet-wide, biblically speaking, two groups of people, the children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's 1 John 5:19. Ephesians 2 said, look, the evil one works in those who are disobedient. Galatians 3, they are prisoners of sin. 2 Timothy 2, the Bible says that they've been taken captive by Satan to do his will. Listen, let me show you one. I've got the old, hey, America, Declaration of Independence. It's my bookmarker. Don't forget that. Right. Listen to this, Sean. Solomon, one of the wisest men on earth, if not the wisest. He's speaking of wisdom. Whoever finds me wisdom finds life. Watch, and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me, this is the God of the Bible, harms himself. Now listen to this, on this ISIS thing. All who hate me love death. So you scratch your head and you say, well, why is it that when we're not even over there in the Middle East, why do they continue to slaughter each other when we're not even on the premises? They can't blame us. We left Iraq. You say, what happened in Egypt, in Syria? You say, in Libya. They just slaughter each other. You say, what? All who hate me love death. Sean?
What is the answer? The answer, I think the only answer is, I think they're at war with us.
Yep.
Whether we like it or not, I think most people would rather live in peace. Most Americans are, just leave us alone. We'll leave you alone. They're not going to leave us alone. They're not going to leave Israel alone. So that leaves us with two options. Do nothing and then get ready for the next attack. And then we'll have a report that says they were at war with us. We weren't at war with them.
In this case, you either have to convert them, which I think is would be next to impossible. I'm not giving up on them, but I'm just saying either convert them or kill them. One or the other.
You know, that's going to be
converting them. Maybe has that time has come and gone. So I think that with this ideology that we're faced with, this is like street gangs, street thugs on steroids. You think about it. Most of the wars we've fought, they were not asymmetrical like this one. This one, it's not like a country with a standing army and we line up and do battle with a certain amount of rules that they violate. But you say this is more like worldwide gang warfare, but it's, this gang is well armed and well organized. I think, my opinion, we're going to have to deal with this group way more harshly than we have up to this point.
Because they're so harsh. Now, I know there are going to be people that are always looking to jump on you and say, convert them or kill them. And they're going to say, there goes Phil Robertson again. I know the media. I know how they act.
I'd much rather have a Bible study with all of them and show them the error of their ways and point them to Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of having your sins removed and being raised from the dead. I would rather preach the gospel of Jesus to them. However, if it's a gunfight and a gunfight alone, if that's what they're looking for, me personally, I am prepared for either one.
Let me ask you about the book Unfiltered the Way You See It. Why do you think, because you talk a lot about political correctness, biblical correctness, about lifestyles, about, you know, some people view you as controversial. I don't. I kind of see you as a minister. That's your calling. Why do you think so many people view you as controversial? Because coming from a religious point of view.
When Jesus came to the earth, Sean, he never made a mistake, for crying out loud. Not one mistake. And he would convict people of their sin. And he said, they hated me, and it was predicted from the prophets, they hated me without reason. And then he told all of us, like they hated me, they will hate you also. They will hate you, he said, when that comes, and when they exclude you, when they insult you, and when they reject your name as evil because of me. Jesus said, listen, rejoice, be happy, because great is your reward in heaven. What people fail to understand is coughing up sin and confessing it and giving it to the only one who can remove it, for crying out loud. We're all sinners. America, here's a news flash. All of us have sinned, every last one of us. Some people want to zero in on specific sexual sins. Look, it's all sin. Whether you lie, whether you steal, whether you rob, whether you rape. Look, it's just all sin. One little white lie does you in as fast as being sexually immoral.
So if Miss Kay wears something that you don't like and she asks you, you're going to tell her the truth?
Yeah.
Look, good luck to you.
Look, when I was 28, I had to cough up my sins. And up until that time, I thought, you know, the last thing I want to hear is somebody preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Repent. I was thinking, I saw a preacher coming. I headed the other way. I put that in my book. I hated people like me now because I had to come to a reckoning with the God of creation and the one who made me. So I, you know, coughing up my sin was not fun. I was immoral. I got drunk. I got high.
You don't care one bit if your show's a success. When you were out for, 9 days?
Yeah.
You didn't care?
No.
Not even a little bit?
Always remember this. Television, fame, money. Listen, here's a news flash for America. Fame cannot remove your sin. And all the money you ever amass cannot raise you from the dead. And contrary to what Obama has said about Obamacare, Sean, it's not going to keep you out of the ground, dude. And not only that, you're going to spend a lot of money to have it. What I'm giving the American people is eternal health care, and it's free. Give me a break.
Unfiltered, the way I see it.
Hey.
Phil Robertson. I had a great time down in West Monroe. Thank you for having me.
So you're looking at a biblical perspective of what's going on. You think, my God, goodness, convert or kill. And you're going to see people want to say, well, that's the same thing that's happening. No, very rarely will you ever see anybody, probably other than Christians or Jews, look at their enemy and say, listen, let's work this out. Most people just want to, if somebody's coming to kill you, most people say, you know, kill or be killed.
Yeah.
But what a Christian saying, a Christian perspective was, he's saying, I much rather them, me to sit down and be able to teach them the ways of God, and let them to be forgiven like God forgave me. But if this particular enemy who's trying to come in and harm our nation and is harming these other nations and killing these innocent people, the only thing you have left to do if they don't choose that route is to do what you would have done anyway, which is kill the enemy who's trying to come in and hurt you. So the difference is this, is as a Christian viewpoint, is one is defensive. You know, if you're going to defend Iraqi people, if you're going to defend the Muslim people in the Middle East, you're going to defend Israel, then the only way you can do that is to hopefully win them over, your enemy over. They said, let's don't go this route. But if they insist on decapitating and killing you, then you're going to have to remove them, eliminate them, as Congressman Michelle Bachmann said, target them. And so the difference with ISIS and this radical Islam, that's offensive. They're coming into a people that has never said anything, didn't even know they even existed, and they're telling them, you convert to our beliefs or we're going to kill you. It's like, where did you come from? We don't even know who you are.
Right.
That is definitely not what Phil Robertson's saying in the context. That's not what God says. God's saying, you know, that you'll have enemies, but if they're coming in to rob your house, you can defend your house. If they're coming in to rob your nation, you can defend your nation. If they're coming in trying to push Israel in the sea, Israel can defend herself. But it'd be much better for them to hear the gospel and meet Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of their life. And many Muslims, by the way, are getting saved. Very powerful thing. More after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
That was hilarious.
That's the ultrasound on the bottom. But do you remember the other ultrasound that you hit when you happened to be in the mining truck? Do you remember that? Pat, did you ever hear that story?
The brand new truck? Yeah. When you got your brand new truck?
Yeah, my brand new truck. I didn't
God
even drive
gave you that truck. God gave you that truck.
Did he clobber something with your truck?
Well, actually, you know, what it was.
Big, huge orange cones.
Let me tell you what happened. What happened was,
okay,
you know, John had this car. And
is that what that was?
Yeah.
Wait, we started talking about a truck.
We have to appreciate the truck, how the truck came about.
The story's not about the truck. It's not about you hitting this orange wall. That.
Well, I'm trying to move from the clack, clack, to the plump, you know? So anyway, so John gets this truck. God gives him this truck. It was amazing, you know? And so he wants to show me the truck. And so he brings it to me to show it to me. And of course, when I got in the truck, well, actually I had to drive it, because if I got in the passenger side of the truck, I couldn't fit because my knees would be under my chin, because he has to pull the seat so far up by the steering wheel to drive. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to have to drive this thing, you know, because I cannot, my knees cannot be in my chin right here. You know, I'm not saying anything. I meant.
You believe this, Pat? You believe this?
Yeah.
You know, come on now. So he sat in the passenger seat. I slid the telephone book off the seat and put it down. And I slid the seat back. But even the seat sliding back, it still was a smaller truck. Yes. So, you know, I got in there. I'm just so bulked up from working out. You know, it was kind of tough to get up in there.
Yeah, right.
Lifting hot wings. And I get in there and I'm riding down a particular road. And I'm like, man, this is a nice truck, you know. And John's just glowing because God just blessed him and all that. And they had these construction cones down the center of the road.
The big barrels or the like the little ones?
Yeah, you know, these are pretty huge. The truck, you know.
No, danger. There's a cone here. You know?
It was a little people's truck. So I was like some giant in this thing. No, so these cones look really like mountains when we're passing them.
Right.
And they seem really big. But I don't know what had happened. It's like an angel just pushed us over in these cones. And it's like, boom, 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 boom. We're just like, I don't know, maybe about three or four of these cones. I look back at John's forehead. Was all wrinkled up, and he's thinking, "It's my brand new truck."
Trashed it.
You know, I always personally felt, you know, if you get something so nice, you know, the first thing you do is you need to scratch it and get it over with. Just mess it up. You know, yeah, because it's like, you know, you're going to be worried about it.
Well, you surely helped me with that. You took care of that. You took care of the scratches. Yeah.
So it was a white truck, but it had like a fiery orange pattern on the side of it.
No, and I don't know how that happened. I have no idea how that happened, but it was a very, very interesting.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm ready for both, Phil Robertson said on Fox News, and that's what we're supposed to be ready for. We need to be prepared. When you think about being prepared, think about Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. And you know, Dr. Phil really, he probably is a doctor.
Yeah, right.
But Phil Robertson was saying that he's prepared. He'd rather, you know, love and preach the gospel, but to be defensive, to be able to defend folks. And we need to prepare. When you start, you hear the last two programs, we hear Congressman Michelle Bachmann. This is what I was warning you about. I couldn't tell you. Now it's here. ISIS is in America. We don't know exactly what they're doing. The Boston Marathon bomb. And remember, I talked about that. And the Lord showed me 5 days. He gave me a vision 5 days before it went off on April the 15th. The vision that he gave me was April the 10th. And I called our leaders around the nation and said, listen, something's about to happen. Don't know what it is. But it's an explosion. It's a bomb. It's about to take off. And I was just in this vision. I was just there almost. And then on tax day, April 15th, it happened. And at that day, America changed as we know it. And what you saw immediately, you saw people that were enemy of the state being treated like citizens and having all their Miranda rights read to them and defending them. This whole different mindset versus you just committed a terrorist act against the people who were running this marathon in Boston. You need to be treated as someone that committed treason against our country. But instead, we begin to see things totally differently. And that's when things shifted. And so begin to think about being prepared. We have something available for you at VFNTV.com for all of our partners. That don't forget, just for $9.95 a month, you get everything available for you. And it's our partners that help us do what we're doing and our sponsors. But being prepared, think about, it doesn't take long to just fundamentally, geographically, you know, hurt a nation. And when you think about Hurricane Ivan, remember Hurricane Ivan, how it happened? You think, man, it was such a major thing and it caused so much damage. It was like, you know, 50% of homes, whatever it was, just major disasters took place. That was only 22 days. The whole storm from the time it began to form to the time it was over was 22 days. Think about Hurricane Katrina and what took place with Mississippi, what happened in Louisiana and the great devastation that's still there to this day. That was only 7 days from the time it formed to the time that was over. You think about earthquakes that lasted maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes at the most, tremors and all, and the great tragedies that came. You look at what happened in 9/11. What did that take? Did it just take a few moments? The president's teaching in a particular school. He gets a report saying that somebody, we have some aircraft that's probably hijacked. Within a few moments, they're flying into the Twin Towers, and they're flying in New York, and they're flying into the Pentagon. The Pentagon, mind you. And it happened in a few moments. And now you look at today where we've just allowed our borders to pour over, like we heard on the earlier program by Congressman Michelle Bachmann. And we heard in regards to Tapper on his program about the advisor talking about, you know, ISIS has come in through the southern border. ISIS is in our country. And people that believe like this radical Islamic State, which we removed from our references, according to Michelle Bachmann. By the way, and one of the daughters of the Muslim Brotherhood was the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton's assistant the whole time she was in, and still is her assistant today. I saw her in a book signing. Oh, yeah. Then when she was up in Massachusetts or something doing her book. And Uma was right there beside her. She is the daughter. And that, I mean, she has the right to do this, but you got to not know this. She is the daughter of one of the large head leaders and the Muslim Brotherhood, I think he's dead now, her father's dead, but she was the person that was carried around to all these different places in the world.
Yeah, allegedly her mother's part of the sisterhood too.
Yeah, and so just what happened is it looked like that the mindset is the Muslim Brotherhood is a friend of ours and will help us out. The truth is when you look at the five pillars, whatever you call them, of the Muslim Brotherhood, they want a caliphate. They want jihad is one of their highest callings, you know, dying in the name of Allah. I mean, this is things that they say, and we have that. We have that before. You go to VFN Torch, go to the VFNTV.com, go to the VFN Torch, and you'll see Islam, and then you'll have a submenu of that, you know, and it just tells you, you know, Islam 101, Christianity and Islam, what's the difference in the two? And we got to begin to educate ourselves. So to befriend the right, to befriend and partner with the Muslim Brotherhood is to partner with that which is a bipolar opposite of what America stands for, which is one nation under God, and the year of our Lord, that all of our rights come from him, and the God whose son is Jesus Christ. That's the one they're talking about, in the name of our Lord. And you can see these segments that come up about that under the original tent. So what does it mean to be prepared? You need to be prepared. If we're in a particular nation right now that people are surveyed that said that 63 some odd percent or whatever the number was, at least 63 or bigger, would rather be shocked, experience electrical pain than learn something, you have to realize you can't look to other people and see what they're doing, because they're just going to be shocked, because they're not going to prepare. They're not going to listen to what's going on. So what are some of the ways you can prepare? This is all available for you at VFNTV.com. But in prudent preparation, start thinking about the basics. Realize, you know, like Phil Robertson said, that you expect a police officer to come in and defend you. You know, he or she comes in with a gun on their side, and they defend you from that robber or that purse snatcher or whatever's going on. They defend you. If it's normal for him or her to defend you, then it's not wrong for you to defend yourself. It's called the Second Amendment. You got to begin to think about that. What does that really mean in the context of that? And what does the Constitution mean by that? And in America, you can defend yourself. You can actually defend yourself. And maybe, you know, you could be in a state that doesn't believe in the Second Amendment or the First Amendment. You need to probably reposition yourself to be in a place that you can actually operate within the Constitution, legally within the Constitution. But think about this. Six basic physical needs. And we're going to be coming to an end. You can find out more of this. But six basic physical needs are food, water, shelter, clothing, security and safety, and finance, some sort of currency. Begin to think about these things and put together a little plan. This is how the Lord kind of laid on my heart. Is think about when a hurricane hits, a storm hits, or an earthquake hits, the first thing people do is they run to the stores and they empty everything off the shelves. So you can't think, if something happens, I'm going to go to the store, because there's only enough food to be able to fill that store for 1 week. It's called FIFO, first in, first out. They don't stock this big room somewhere like they used to. Realize you're going to have to plan ahead for that, because the shelves are going to be empty the second that this particular storm hits. Whatever's going to happen, happens. But be prepared. It's sort of like this, and we're going to an end. But you were flying on the airplane. This is what they tell you. Put the oxygen mask on yourself first in case of emergency, then put it on the ones that are with you. Why? Because you are not going to make it to be there for someone. What you want to do is do like Phil Robertson said, we just want to be prepared. We want to be prepared to be able to preach the gospel, to love folks, to help people out with these basic needs. It's called prudent preparation. You can find out more about it at bfntv.com. God bless. Don't forget to catch us on the future programs. We're going to be talking more about these details of preparedness, being prepared for what's about to happen. Realize if American surveyed said they'd rather go through pain than to learn something, you got to say, I got to go through the pain of learning, because I want to make it. I want to be able to be faithful to the Lord in this season of testing that's coming upon the earth.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.